Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Welcome, everybody. This is Michelle Morgan, and you're listening to Living on a Prayer. And, of course, our barbalicious music maestro, Barb Perry, just...
Did you love that?
A childhood flashback. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, see, what's scaring me, though, is you're taking me back farther, like, every time. So I'm going to be, like, in the fetal position in the next couple weeks.
Pretty soon. I tried to look for some good audio with them, but Buffy and what was the boy's name?
Oh,
I can't remember.
I don't remember the little boy's name.
Oh, yeah. Sebastian.
Sebastian.
And yes, he was he played Mr. French.
Yes, Mr. French.
All that. Yeah.
And Brian Keith played the dad. He was wonderful.
I love Brian Keith.
I do too. He was awesome.
He is.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. All right. Very nice. Oh, well, welcome to a Mercury retrograde Monday, everyone. Woohoo! So, okay, just, you know, I gotta do my little rant about the planets here. So, so Mercury went officially retrograde yesterday, although it's been completely monkeying with us since the beginning of this month, actually. I was reading an astrology thing on the internet yesterday that was talking about that this Mercury retrograde is in Taurus, so buckle up for just nothing but total frustration for the next 3.5 weeks. Oh, wee! That sounds like a ton of fun, doesn't it? Okay. So, we are going to be talking about family legacy today. And before I launch into that, got a few little business things as usual. Do the minutes of the meeting here. my April special for fans is about to end here in the next week or so. So a couple more weeks. So anybody who's a fan on my fan page gets to take advantage of that special. And you go to the boxes up at the top of the fan page, click on that link, and it'll take you in and you can find out what that April special is and take advantage of it. Got some new classes coming up here. Go to the What's New page on michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. Doing the prayer workshop, wowza. It is an amazing, amazing experience. It's an amazing experience for me to teach it every time. We've got the Saturday intensive coming up, actually this coming Saturday. And Can You Believe It?, which is a class on the human psyche versus the law of attraction. Very, very interesting stuff. I do a live CSI demonstration in that class, and that is also coming up. Again, you can take a look at the What's New page on my website and get information on that. Briefly talking about the fan page, again, just really want to thank everybody that's on there, the great discussions that are happening. There's a really powerful thread going on right now that the darling girl started, Liz Rasmussen, one of my favorite people, and she, it's called the Spiritual First Aid Kit. The whole thread's about, you know, what do you do when you feel disconnected, when you're doing all your prayer stuff and you don't feel it? So there's some just great insights on that one. So thanks everybody for posting. Really appreciate it. Next week's show, very excited about this, Raising Polaritudinally Correct Kids, Raising Kids with Right Polarity. I'm going to have three of my fave gals in the studio with me, and a fourth one on the phone. Hopefully everybody's going to make it to that. It's going to be great. And we're going to just a ton of really powerful questions about, you know, how do you keep your kids in their core? How do you teach them how to be in this world with all the reversed polarity around? So definitely tune into that next week. It's going to be awesome. So let's dive in, shall we? Gonna open the phone lines here. 877-230-3062. Again, the number 877-230-3062. We're talking about family legacies and what that is. Patterns of emotional response and behavior actually begin before the family of origin. They can stretch back into our bloodline, sometimes for multiple generations. So what I'm looking for today, y'all, if you've got a particular pattern you've been dealing with, and especially if it seems especially stubborn, call me, and we're going to explore the ancestral influences of that pattern. It's fascinating information. I'll actually do a psychic reading for you to see where that pattern originated, how far back in your ancestral line, what the issue was, and give you some ways of untangling from that energy. It's really cool stuff. So, awesome. Miss Barbara just handed me a note. We've got some people on hold, as a matter of fact. So we're going to get to the phones here in a little bit. Talk about the four categories of family influence first. We have the natal family. That's the family of origin. You have the ancestral family influence. That's the historical family or the bloodline, the ancestors that go back beyond the family of origin. We have your karmic family, it's past life ancestry, and the tribal family, that's community. And I'll tell you what, all four of those have an impact. We are literally an amalgam of influences that begin, I'm not kidding you, in the womb. So I want to talk about, you know, what's important about understanding influences like that. What's important about understanding your family story? The big question is, you know, to blame or not to blame. Do you spend your days, you know, victimized by your family of origin and everything you learn there, or do you take a look at it? You know, therapies that rely heavily on the dissection and discussion of childhood experiences can definitely keep the client pretty firmly entrenched in the past and then in victim stance as a result. Conversely, this sort of new age, everyone was doing the best they could, so get over it mindset pretty much doesn't leave any room for awareness or self-compassion that's necessary to truly honor the past and move on. You have to own the past before you can change it. And who you are is literally this miraculous fusion of everything you've been, seen, felt, experienced. It's also a matter of choice, no question about it. But family in all of its different forms plays a pretty pivotal role in who each one of us decides to become and in how capable we are of achieving what we decide to become. So we've talked in past shows about the longing for God, that longing to connect with the divine and really create a union with that energy. Just as that is a hardwired current in the human psyche, so too is the gravity of the family legacy. It's an archive of attitudes, values, beliefs, behaviors, expectations, and it's handed down branch by branch within a family tree. We're pack animals, kids. That's really what we are. And the instinctual survival code that's scrawled on the cave walls of our human nature maintains that we must be loved and accepted by said pack or we'll die. And the pack is usually represented by the family of origin, but it's also represented by whatever family unit we happen to find ourselves in, even on a daily basis. So you're at work, your workerbees that you're with, they're your family in that particular experience. So that's a systematic pack. Community again is a pack. Friendships are packs. We have that need to be loved and accepted. And part of guaranteeing the love and acceptance is agreeing, however unconsciously, to carry on the patterns of any legacy. There's also a family loyalty piece that's hardwired into us. Bert Hellinger developed family constellation therapy with that philosophy in mind. And I'm going to really simplify it here just for the sake of what we're talking about. But that family loyalty piece says you can't best your family. You can't break out of that box and do something different, do something better. And it's really, for the most part, a tremendously unconscious urge. Even rebelling against the family legacy can be a form of upholding your ancestry. So, for example, if you grew up being relentlessly pushed to succeed Whoever pushed you most likely was driven by their own hereditary beliefs regarding failure. So if you choose failure as your rebellion against succeeding, you've just championed the original sin. So it's an amazing process how we carry those things and how we act them out. I'm going to give you a great example. A client of mine came to me, this was a year or so ago. She's a remarkable artist. She makes costumes for ballroom dancers and ice skaters. Just a brilliant, brilliant costume designer. But she's always been wanting to do so much more with her artwork and really branch out. And every time she's tried, every time she's thought about it and started to envision that and do any kind of steps towards making that a reality, she would literally become almost paralyzed with fear and just stop dead in her tracks. So she came to me and we did a family legacy piece. I do a psychic reading in the CSI process to uncover those family legacies. And we did that. And this was absolutely fascinating. So a legacy is a divine story that God writes about a family. He hands it to the first ancestor in the line, who then lives it out on down through the generations until something typically historical in nature occurs that twists that legacy into its shadow form. Remember, everything has a blessing and a curse. So the divine legacy becomes shadow at some point, and that's what most of us walk on the earth at this point in history are living out. So my client, here she is paralyzed by this desire to expand her artwork. We did the reading and come to find out the original legacy, the divine legacy in her family was pretty amazing. The women were extraordinarily powerful in her ancestral bloodline. And there was a philosophy in that family that basically was, you know, whatever you want, you can make happen. And she actually had shamans and even a shapeshifter kind of an energy in her bloodline. Pretty amazing stuff. Very creative, very expressive, which just fit her to a T. So 6 generations back, we traced what happened to the divine legacy. 6 generations back, feminine ancestor wanted to be a mother more than anything. And that was a period in history when women were not considered really the highest of citizens. So she had to manipulate and finagle her world so that she, quote unquote, married well. So she married a man who she knew would be a great provider, great father. He was up in society, so she would have been positioned real well, etc. She married the guy and proceeded to have 6 babies. 5 of whom died tragically in childbirth. It was horrific. 1 survived. It was a daughter. So right there, you got that whole thing of, you know, the lesser sex being the only heir. Well, her husband, of course, leaves her because back in those days, it was always the woman's fault if those types of things happened. So this woman, this ancestor who lost 5 children, lost her husband, pretty much lost everything, was so devastated and so grief-stricken and basically believed that God had cursed her and did that whole little number. And here's how she ended up handing the legacy down to the surviving daughter. She said, probably not necessarily in these specific words, but here was the gist of it. You be careful what you wish for because you're going to get it and it will ruin your life. Because that ancestor got exactly what she wished for. She wished to be a mother. And it ended up destroying her. So that got handed down for the next 6 generations. Be careful what you wish for because it's going to be nothing but trouble. So consequently, my client is walking in the world with this completely unconscious. And it is literally in the neural pathways. We've talked about that in previous shows, how the belief systems are carried in the neural pathways. 9 months in the womb, in her mother womb, she's getting inundated with this idea, with old home movies, etc., that completely solidify this idea. So she did the CSI track, we shifted the family legacy piece, and here was the absolutely amazing thing about this. She had she had dinner with her mom a few weeks after we'd done this particular exercise in the track. And I had met her mother before, so this made this story even more fascinating. Mom's a sweetheart, not especially conscious. In the middle of dinner, with no provocation whatsoever from my client, Mom looks up and says, you know, I've been thinking, I feel kind of bad. I think I might have made you and your brother scared to go out in the world and do the things that you want.
And I feel really bad about that. My client said she almost choked on her supper because nothing remotely like that had ever come out of mom's mouth before. So we had actually shifted the legacy, which changed the energy for the entire family line. So legacies are phenomenal. People don't stop and think about how far back these influences can go, because most therapies don't talk about that. So I cannot emphasize how powerful it is to understand where this stuff originates and get in there and make some changes around it. And there are some great little exercises that you can do to at least start to disenfranchise from those ideas that basically don't belong to you. And there's a couple of ways that we carry legacies. We buy into them hook, line, and sinker, or we carry them through that family loyalty piece, almost like we want to unburden our ancestors so we take it on for them. And neither one is an easier way to carry it, believe me. I mean, if you're buying into it hook, line, and sinker, then you got to really do the work to believe something different. If you're carrying it as a loyalty thing, then there's that whole thing of, you know, what if I don't carry it? Then what's going to happen to everybody else? So it's a pretty powerful process. And then we also, of course, come into any given lifetime with karmic legacies from the karmic ancestral line. So, and we will always choose a family of origin whose legacies will support the ones that we have karmically. Of course, that's how it works. The law of attraction is not limited to your current lifetime. It's going on all the time. So it's pretty powerful stuff. We are going to take a little break. And when we come back, we got some people on the line we're going to have a chit chat with and see what we can see about legacies and more. So appreciate y'all being here. Number's 877-230-3062. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Stick around.
With your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good to mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
And we are back. This is Michelle Morgan, Living on a Prayer. Blood is thicker than the mud. Good tune there, Barbara.
And of course, I had to have the Iggy Pop version.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Hey, absolutely. Got to do some Iggy. So we're going to go to the phone lines here in uno second. Just want to talk about the fact that this whole family legacy thing, physical illnesses, you know how they always talk about genetics? Well, guess what? Guess what is truly genetic? Belief systems. Physical issues in the body begin first as emotional and spiritual imbalances. Then the body will manifest a physical response to that. So if you're dealing with chronic illness or an illness that seems to be passed down through the family, whether it's cancer, heart issues, alcoholism, you name it, I guarantee you there's a legacy piece attached to it, and that is crucial for healing. Fascinating stuff. We are going to go to the phone lines. We have Jennifer in London on the line. Jennifer?
Hello.
Hi, babe. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. It's good to talk to you, Michelle.
It's nice to talk to you too, darling. So, what's going on with you?
Well, I think I might have some kind of family legacy about being unlucky in love.
Okay.
Consciously, I want to be in a healthy relationship with the right guy, but right. I think unconsciously I'm terrified of it.
You bet.
And as a result, I'm attracting definitely the wrong kind of men.
Okay.
So I'd like to change that legacy up a little bit.
You betcha. Absolutely. Couple quickie questions. What are you
okay.
What are you astrologically? What's your sign?
Cancer.
Cancerian girl. How old are you?
38.
Okay. You said that with a little bit of a tone.
Well, I was like, okay, should I say 38? But I'm going to be 39 this year.
There you go. That's all right. You're still 38. That counts. That absolutely counts. I'm still 49, and I'm hanging on to that like my life depended on it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you bet. So it's interesting because my sense is the wrong kind of guys are, do we have sort of the emotionally unavailable, like they're here 1 minute and gone the next kind of a thing?
Yeah, a lot of that and a lot of the bad boys.
Yeah, you bet.
So,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
I think a lot of the bad boys are that way emotionally, probably.
Well, and here's what's interesting about that is that sometimes the bad boys, because there can be a level of passion with them, and typically with a bad boy energy, you've got sometimes the possessiveness or the controlling issues. Does that make sense to you? That can look better than the ones who are just simply not there. I mean, you know, if you're going to choose, I mean, your feminine heart's going to go for, and this is a polarity thing too. And that's the other really interesting thing about the whole family legacy stuff is that because polarity is so skewed, in our culture and has been for centuries. I mean, it's taken centuries, as, you know, the pendulum swung towards the dominant masculine patriarchy. You know, literally centuries ago, that whole aspect of polarity became more and more skewed. And so that affected the legacies as well. The divine legacies typically will follow a very distinct core polarity. Men are men. They're purposeful and they're protectors, they're providers, they're visionary, all of that. The women are nurturers. They're really magical, really expressive. And, you know, and then it gets skewed by the culture, and then, you know, it just rolls downhill sideways. So
you
are carrying, you know, an aspect of it. And it's interesting. It definitely comes down through your maternal side, but there's also a little shadow of it on your father's side. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that does. Okay. I felt it was stronger on my mom's side.
Yeah, definitely.
I figured that it was a little bit of both.
You bet. Well, and the other thing that's fascinating about legacy piece is that partners come together, they're drawn together with reciprocal legacies. So your mom and dad came together and their legacies either were really closely similar or they were opposite enough that they merged and did the whole yin yang thing. So you're gonna find that you're affected from both sides of the coin, but in this case it's predominantly on the feminine side. I'm getting really strong information from the guides that it's five generations back, four to five, but I'm going with the fifth because it feels like that's kind of where it began. There's a really strong sense of a feminine ancestor having fallen in love with somebody who was absolutely not available to her, like either married or I get the sense of in the priesthood. I get the sense that she fell in love with somebody who was actually completely inaccessible. Where's your lineage from? Where's the geographical aspect?
Well, I'm kind of a European mutt, but My mom's side, she was born in Louisiana, and I think there's a lot of French and Irish and
okay, because I'm that would make sense because I'm getting the whole Irish Catholic thing, big time.
Yeah.
So bottom line, I get the feeling that the feminine ancestor falls in love with this man who is not available in a literal sense. And at the same time, probably there may have even been an actual, they may have even actually had an affair. There might have actually been. So it was more than just this unrequited love for her. I feel like it was an actual experience that was then taken away from her and coupled with a lot of shame and a sense of betrayal. Does that make sense to you for you in your pattern? Does there end up being a betrayal and the shame piece for you?
All of it does. Yeah. I mean, because I've been betrayed.
Yeah.
I have betrayed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been attracted to men who were not available, and they've been attracted to me, too.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you bet. So you're living it out, darling girl, and believe me. It's
all right, I want to change it.
I know. It's so powerful. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do.
Okay.
And I could spend an hour on the phone with you and get really detailed about this. I'm not going to do that. You've got enough information right now. This is five generations back.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you're going to do. And this sounds like a silly little exercise, but honest to God, it's so freaking powerful. So I want you to promise me that you're going to do this. Okay.
Okay.
When you start to recognize that pattern, when you start to feel, first of all, one of the most important things that you have to get rid of here, quote unquote, is that shame and that betrayal piece. While you carry the idea that you are going to be betrayed and you are going to end up with this shame attached to any relationship, you're going to attract that automatically on some level. It's not going to be as dramatic as this ancestor. But what happened was when she had that love affair, this is why I'm thinking there was the guides were talking four or five generations. I think fourth generation was the girl that had the affair. I think her mother found out about it. There was some connection to mom, and mom was the one that did the whole shame thing on the daughter. Does that make sense to you?
I'm getting chills when you say that.
Yeah, no, it really feels intense. So there's a family betrayal as well. I mean, it's not this girl's fault she fell in love with this guy, and it's really not her fault that he acted on it. You know, that was his issue. So you got this young girl who's just betrayed across the board. Her heart's broken, and what gets handed down is you will manifest this. Love equals shame, love equals betrayal, love equals hurt, love equals the family turning their back on you. I mean, all of that. And that Irish Catholic thing, I guarantee you her family turned their back on her. So that's handed down to you. So here's what I want you to concentrate on. When you start feeling that shame, you start feeling that betrayal stuff, you start feeling the fear of that around relationship, I want you to imagine putting it in a little tiny box, really cute little box with a beautiful little bow. I know this sounds silly, but do it. And you're going to actually toss it back to that mother and that daughter four and five generations back. You're going to hand it back to them. Because here's the thing. It's not yours. It's theirs. Do you ever do jigsaw puzzles, Jennifer?
When I was little.
Okay. So you know the phenomenon where you can have a 1,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and you can have 999 of those pieces together and one is missing and your brain cannot see the whole picture. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you put that final piece in and it's like, you know, the heavens open and, you know, the angels sing and everything makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're carrying a piece of the puzzle. You're actually carrying part of this legacy and it needs to go back to the ancestors. So
can I do that? Like, because I don't feel like consciously I walk around feeling like I have shame or
no.
I mean,
yes,
like right now there's no guy that I'm attracted to
is
unavailable or anything like that.
Good.
So is there a way that I can, you know, give that stuff back even if there's not anything manifesting?
Absolutely. Yes. All you have to do is be aware. I mean, you have the information now. Just be aware that you're carrying that. Be aware that you've had it in these past situations. And I would tell you to sit down and think about those past hurts that you have and box those suckers up. Send that stuff back. It's time for you to release this. It really is. I mean, you need to let this stuff go.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, here's what I'm going to be very clear with you about. This will not change the belief system you're carrying completely. That is, you got to do a process, NLP based preferably, that's going to actually change the neural pathways in the brain. But set that aside, and what this exercise will do And I'm not kidding you. If you have to send 100 boxes back a day, do it for a while.
Okay.
What it's going to do is it's going to detach you from that unconscious energy that you're carrying. And you're going to start to be aware of it. You're going to start to see it. You'll be bopping down the street, driving your car, having a great day. And all of a sudden, you're going to feel it in you and not even know why, because it's surfacing to be cleared. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm also going to give you a little prayer statement that I want you to say. And I will put this on my fan page if you need to get it, since it's sometimes hard to write it down when I'm reading
it. Okay, good.
But it is, God, I am willing to release the pattern in me that created this resistance. My mind and heart are now open to the healing power of your love. And again, that's, God, I am willing to release the pattern in me that created this resistance. My mind and heart are now open to the healing power of your love. Because this shame and betrayal stuff that doesn't belong to you, even though you have experienced it in honor of the ancestors, is affecting you, and it's creating, it's the law of attraction at its purest. You know, it's an energy that you're walking around with that is actually magnetizing to you those experiences. So does that make sense?
Oh, it completely makes sense.
Okay, babe.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And let me tell you something. You can shift this stuff. You absolutely can. And it really feels like it's time. My sense is that you've got a level of consciousness that is perfect to be letting go of this stuff right now. Would you
cool.
agree?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready.
Yeah.
That's why I called.
Yeah, you so. Absolutely are. So I'm just checking one more little thing for you with the guides.
Okay.
So did you say there's a gentleman in the picture right now that you're interested in?
No, I don't have anybody right now. Right. I'd like to have somebody.
Yeah, well, be careful what you wish for, because it's coming in. I mean, you got a window coming up here really soon, probably before early June would be my sense. So
okay, cool.
This is another reason why you're feeling compelled to release this stuff. So get on it, kiddo. Send the boxes back like crazy right now and do the prayer stuff to release these things, because there is a window that's opening. It's probably astrological in nature. Wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a transit that's showing up. And so you're going to determine the kind of man that walks through that door. By virtue of your
right
energy.
One.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You deserve the right one. So set that up, kiddo. Let go of that past stuff. And the other thing that I want you to understand is that I think you bought into the legacy. Remember when I was talking a little bit ago about the two ways we carry it, we buy into it or we carry it as a burden thing for the ancestors. You did buy into it a bit. So just bear that in mind and literally be willing to claim a different belief system. Just be willing to claim a different one. And
you buy into it unconsciously, like not even realize you're
100%,
doing that?
100%. Okay. Which is why, again, this is what's so great about patterns. They're in your face for a reason. You repeat this crap for a reason so that
until you can clear it.
Yeah, so you can take a look at it and go, you know, what the hell is not working here for me?
Yeah.
And so believe me, your unconscious patterns are the ones that run the show, not your conscious patterns.
Yeah,
they are the ones that will determine your future, are the unconscious ones. But the good news is you get to see them because you're living them out. So the fact that you have an awareness of this unconscious pattern, you're 100 steps ahead of the game. So do the prayer stuff, do the release stuff, and let me know how things go, okay?
Okay, thank you so much
for calling, sweetheart. I wish you the best on this one.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You bet, baby. Bye-bye. Nice. All right, everybody who's listening, Major League Angels, we're setting massive intention right now that Jennifer hands every bit of this back to her sweet little ancestors, especially that young one that was hurt so desperately, and that she gets the right kind of dude. I can't wait to hear about him. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines again. This is Michelle Morgan, Living on a Prayer.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see it's in.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Hear that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Day by day. And here we are. Barb, great tunage. Always great to tunage. Michelle Morgan. You listen to Living on a Prayer. A couple quick things before we go to the phone lines. Go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com, please. And on the right side, click on iTunes. And you can subscribe to this show. And you can rate this show. Rate me. I want you to rate me. I want some ratage. That's fun stuff. And you can get the show archives of the past shows on the media page on my site, michellemorgan.org. Michelle with one L, Morgan.org. If there's a topic you would like me to cover on this show, I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email directly on my website, or you can shoot me a message on my Facebook fan page. And to get to that, any of the pages on my website, you can just click on the links box on the Facebook icon, and just it'll pop you straight on over, and you can join the party. And if you love the music on this show, encourage you to go to iTunes and download the songs. I will be writing them up onto the web or onto the fan page so you can get the information today. And yeah, download them. Great stuff. I'm telling you what, this girl over here is just brilliant when it comes to the music. All righty, kids. We're going to go to the phone lines again. Richard in Seattle.
Hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm very good, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good, baby. What's new with you?
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Going through a lot of stuff. So yeah, I was interested about my ancestral karma or whatever for like a lot of anger, a lot of frustration.
Okay, you bet. Remind me what you are astrologically.
Virgo.
That's right. Oh, sweet baby. Oh, yes. Virgos take this stuff so literally, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the deal. It's definitely coming down the pike on dad's side because this is a masculine issue. So it makes sense that the legacy you're walking around with is predominantly on the patriarchal side. Now, that doesn't always happen. In this case, it is coming down dad's side. So just from that standpoint, does that make sense that this anger stuff is coming down his way?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but I don't know what it is.
But does it make sense? I mean, did your dad have a lot of anger or did he just suppress everything?
I kind of like avoided it, you know.
He kind of did what?
He avoided it.
He avoided it.
Yeah, he didn't really deal with it.
Okay, yeah, well, there you go. So guess what? You're taking on the pattern in its opposite side, and you're going to be experiencing it, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This actually goes back a ways. This goes back, I'm here in eight, maybe nine generations. That's quite a stretch. And it's really predominantly about frustration for the masculine. Do you know what your ancestors, where they came from as far as like what the environment was like? Were they farmers?
No, I don't really know any of that. It's just mostly like German and like Dutch ancestry. Okay. But as far as like they're, you know, mundane, I don't really know about that.
Okay, because what I'm getting is that there's a very strong sense of toil, of having to really, and I mean, it feels very literal. It feels very earthy. It feels very literal. Like there's just almost that feeling of really, really hard work and not necessarily getting ahead. You're just always kind of surviving is the feeling that I get, especially back that eight, nine generations back. And so that starts it off. And so my sense is that the ancestor, and I'm going to say the nine generations back, that's where it started. So my feeling is that things were okay for a while. In fact, probably more than okay. They probably did really well. And again, I keep sort of getting this farming energy or this feeling of, you know, living a bit off the land and having, that kind of, setup. And then it feels, go ahead.
Like a survivor type of mentality?
Well, not quite. It didn't start there. It ends up turning into that. But that ninth generation, they're doing pretty decent. And then it feels to me, and this is when I wish I was a historian, because, you know, I can't do the math of what nine generations back would be, but it feels to me like they're in the community where they were, there was some sort of a change in law, meaning some sort of a tax situation, some sort of a land ownership situation, where they may have gotten their land taken from them, or they may have then been heavily taxed for using the land where before they didn't, you know, before it was just theirs and everything was kind of ducky. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So right there, there is a victim to circumstance mentality. And tell me, and I know we all hate the whole victim thing. There's such a stigma attached to that. But the bottom line is every single one of us does victims somewhere. So does that make sense to you around when this anger stuff comes up? Do you feel trapped? I mean, do you feel like you're stuck and you can't make things happen because of external circumstance?
That's pretty much exactly what it's all about.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened with this ancestor. And it really was out of his control. So at that point, and my sense is there's probably three to four sons in that family, and I get maybe two, possibly three daughters. So the boys all got this huge dose of, you know, you're going to work your ass off and you're not going to be able to, you know, really ever succeed. And now the man has taken the, you know, the profits type of a feeling. So there was really this kind of disgruntled bitterness that started up. And I also get the sense of a loss in that family as well. I almost feel like the wife, the mother of this clan ended up dying. Which just added, you know, insult to injury here. So there's a lot of grief that's attached to this as well. And a feeling that, you know, and very likely that ancestor, Richard, he probably was a Virgo. I'm not kidding you, because here's what Virgo does. Virgo will take responsibility for everything, right? It's always, you know, oh my gosh, it's your fault that this happened.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that ancestor felt personally responsible for the death of his wife. Like if things had only been different, if they hadn't had to work so hard, or if there wasn't so much struggle, she wouldn't have, you know, had the heart attack or died of cancer or whatever it was. Which obviously, you know, who knows if one had anything to do with the other, but the bottom line is there's this huge emotional wave that gets handed down. My sense is a couple of the sons probably did okay with it, but two of them were highly affected by the bitterness, the frustration, that feeling trapped. One of them had a definite chip on his shoulder. That's what got handed down that has rolled forward to you. And the fact that your dad avoided, did he avoid confrontation? Did he avoid responsibility? That type of thing?
Yeah, he's like definitely avoided confrontation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. So, and it's interesting because for the masculine, confrontation, quote unquote, that's slaying the dragon. That's standing up, you know, and taking charge and making changes where changes are necessary, etc. So when a man avoids confrontation, we see that in our new age culture as this very politically correct peacekeeping thing. And that's not at all where that comes from. Sometimes to keep the peace, one has to stand up and say, this is not right. You know what I mean?
So
there's, that's a bit of how that got handed down. I definitely get the sense that your dad's dad, did you know your grandfather?
Very briefly. I think he died when I was like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Okay.
I get the feeling that there was some tremendous anger for him. Like there almost might have been violence with him. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Okay. Is there drinking on your dad's side?
Not, it was never really a problem, but yeah, he would drink sometimes.
Okay.
But it wasn't a big deal with my father, but there was a couple of his siblings definitely had issues.
Yeah, well, I'll guarantee you, Grandpa did it full on. Probably hid the bottles because my feeling is that's how Grandfather dealt with the anger that was coming up in him. And when you think about how a legacy is handed down, it's going to get exaggerated every generation. You know, everything expands, right? So you're carrying the belief system of your ancestor, and then you manifest a reality that supports that belief system. So then you start getting all pissed off, and then you add that on top of what you're carrying. I mean, it's a pretty big deal, you know? It's a pretty big deal. So a lot of times, the masculine will definitely turn to drugs, alcohol, television, some way of escaping those emotions when they come up. And so consequently, you didn't get a very good role model for slaying the dragon, it doesn't sound like. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So that's, kiddo, again, I know the whole box with the bow around it sounds like a goofy thing, but trust me when I tell you it's really powerful. I want you to start to ship this stuff back. When you start to feel the anger, you start to feel frustrated, you start to view your world as, you know, you're trapped or the circumstances don't work for you, whatever, start to send that stuff back, because that's an idea that you're championing for your family line. And let me tell you something, kiddo, I am not exaggerating. Your ancestral lineage is waiting. The souls of every one of your ancestors has been waiting for somebody to be brave enough to raise up righteous and say, you know what, let's write this legacy. And so it's interesting because when I'm looking at the original legacy, the divine legacy, which, you know, got twisted by the circumstances 9 generations back, but the original legacy was totally about men who, with the get her done kind of an attitude, you know, they knew what had to be done. They weren't afraid of hard work. They got in there and they made stuff happen. Probably some pioneering energy. I wouldn't be surprised at all, because I keep going back to that feeling of them having like the land, you know, they pioneered that place, and then all of a sudden, you know, they got taxed for it or whatever. So there is that feeling of being able to take nothing and make something wonderful out of it. So there's a really strong entrepreneurial pioneering energy for the masculine on your side. And doesn't that fit with exactly what you want to do in the world? Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tell the studio audience, please, because you and I both know that that fits you to a T. That's exactly what you're about in this lifetime. So here's the good news. And this is true for everybody. We're living out the shadow of our legacies, but we have the divine legacy in our DNA. We just have to separate out the shadow and get back to the divine. And what's the most important factor in making that happen, Richard?
Love.
three letters, starts with a G, ends with a D. What's the most important factor?
It starts with what? Sorry,
starts with a G and ends with a D. What's the most important factor?
God.
Amen. It's God. You better believe it. If you're gonna get to the divine, you better bring in the divine to help you get there. So this is where you send this stuff back, bless those ancestors. You know, I mean, and so here's the thing. If that ancestor 9 generations back had more support, had had more of a spiritual connection, perhaps more of a faith in God, and had really worked his faith, then it might have turned out differently. He might have been able to, you know, he might have made more money and been able to pay the taxes with no problem. Or he might have, you know, decided, you know what, we're going to go somewhere else and we're going to pioneer a different place and start over. And he might have done that, and it would have been a completely different scenario. But he bought into the very human experience, which, you know, hello, you can't fault him for that. But right. the key always is, what are we doing with the circumstances at hand? Are we playing the karmic role? Are we playing the human role, the cause and effect, the law of circumstances? Or are we gonna walk in that circumstance with the law of grace and allow ourselves to be lifted above that, no matter what that looks like at the time? And that's the key factor. And that's always the key factor in how the legacies get twisted. Wherever that particular thing happens, that ancestor did not have the spiritual tools and resources, nor the support system around them to keep them in a mindset that did not put them in victim. That's always the case. So just know that, and you get a chance, baby. Honestly, you get a chance to write this. You really do. So I want you to start to send that crap back, and then be willing to do the work to change the belief systems as you're carrying them, because you've got that divine. You've got the divine legacy. You want to start to champion that.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right, Cookie.
Thank you, Michelle.
You bet. I adore you. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Richard.
Bye.
Bye. Wowza. Powerful stuff. I'm telling you what, family legacy is powerful, powerful stuff. And you can't deny the influence of it. So how much time we got, Barbie?
You've got 4.5. Do you want to see if you can get a quickie with Jim?
Let's do a quickie with Jim.
Okay.
Jim. Are you there?
Hello.
Hey, babe. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing good.
Good. So we got to rock through this, darling. So tell me what your question is.
Okay. First of all, I want to applaud you. I've been listening to you ever since you came on.
Thank you.
I am just amazed at your ability.
Thank you.
I come from a pretty good background. There was, you know, there was love. There was, you know, I had pretty good parents, pretty good life. But I turned out to be kind of problematic in my adult years.
Okay.
And
so you want to know why you're problematic?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you astrologically? What's your sign?
Virgo.
Virgo. Oh my gosh, the Virgos. The Virgos are rocking today. Well, I got Virgo rising, so hello. I'm right there with you. So here's you actually have a pretty wicked legacy coming down through mom's side, and it feels like it's a legacy of literal, I want to say slavery or lockup, being literally oppressed in a very, very physical way. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. And that's coming down probably 5-6 generations back, and it feels really devastating, like an extraordinary, like there was an experience of someone being ripped away from their family and either put to death, tortured, something went on. And it was all completely unjustified. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, you're a thief or whatever, even if you're just thieving to survive and you get caught and you get punished as the culture will punish you. But this was completely uncalled for. And it's a masculine ancestor on your mom's side. So there's this tremendous sense of, first of all, huge issue about lack of justice and a tremendous rebellion, almost like, you know what, screw the rules. I am going to do what the heck I want to do, and I really don't care about anybody else. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense. And you'd probably be interested in knowing a fact about me. I don't know if you want to know it.
Well, darling, I would love to know it, but unfortunately, we are rocking down to the very, very, very last moments here. Would you do me a favor and stay on the line, and I'd love to talk to you briefly after we get off?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. I want you to send this energy back ASAP. I am not kidding you. This you were not incarcerated. Well, maybe you were, but you weren't in the instance that your ancestor was. You've got to send that back. You've got to detach from that that need to rebel, because that's completely unconscious. And Virgos toe the line. Virgos absolutely keep their ducks in a row, name their grandkids, and they do what needs to be done. So when you've got that kind of really incredibly strong rebellious streak, that's going to do nothing but create problems for you. So send that stuff back, okay?
Okay.
All right, all right. I appreciate you calling, honey, and I'm going to send you angels on this one big time, okay?
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you much.
So, wow, everybody, thank you so much for listening today. This was wild. We're going to have to do some more of this one, no question about it. Come back next week. It's going to be tons of fun raising kids with right polarity. Barb, thank you so much for today. Appreciate the music, and everybody be well this week. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.